Hey, and welcome to Saturate with your host, gospel singer, and Bible teacher, Chris Norman. Saturate is a program where we study to show ourselves approved, not ashamed, and rightly dividing the word of truth. So grab your Bible and study along with us as we dig deeper in order to expose a lot of erroneous preconceived ideas about God's word. As we prepare to study, let's pray. Father, thank you for making your word available to us, and thanks for the Holy Spirit's anointing to discern what we read today. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, here's your host, Chris Norman.
Hey, so good to have you today on Saturate. Man, call somebody on the phone and just tell them, hey, it's on again. Get your Bible. We're going to do some studying today. This is going to be a continuation of the program that was on yesterday. I'm not sure what day that is because these, of course, are pre-recorded, but I hope that the broadcaster did get them in order because they need to be that way. Yesterday, we talked about when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And there was so much to, you know, to cover that time just didn't cover it in 15 minutes that I have. I want you to get your Bible today. We're going to talk about some stuff. Open your Bible to John chapter 20 is where we're going to start. Let me start with this song right here, One God Gave Me. It was just a play on words years ago. You hear people say, I'm never going to do this, never going to do that. And you know the old saying, oh, never say never. So that's what this song was based around. The name of the song is Never Gonna Stop. Hope you enjoy it. Yeah.
Jesus never stops. Yeah. Jesus never stops giving me
the. Hey, never gonna stop. And I hope you will adopt that same attitude. Listen, get your Bible if you didn't already. John chapter 20. And let's just get started. This is the story when Jesus had resurrected. This was on the third day. This was on the Lord's day, first day. The reason why we worship God on Sunday, the day the Lord rose from the dead, and it's called the Lord's Day. So they had come to the tomb to anoint his body, and he wasn't there. The stone was rolled away. Here's a real quick message on that one. The stone was not rolled away so that he could get out. The stone was rolled away so that they could get in and see that he had resurrected. But anyway, that's another story. Let's start in verse 13. It says, "Woman, why are you weeping?" they asked. These are the angels. It said, "Because they've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize that it was Jesus. Now, there again, see, you remember the two guys on the road to Emmaus? Jesus came to them as they were walking, walked with them for 7 miles, and they didn't even recognize him. Now that he was with them, why? What is it they did not recognize? And I just believe with all of my heart, because when he said on the cross, it was finished. What was finished was his earthly, fleshly ministry to fulfill the scriptures about how he would be born and how he would live in this human body and how he would die. And it was done. And now that ministry was over. Now, what was most important to Jesus was that they get the scriptures and they live on and depend on the scriptures just as he had done. So them recognizing his fleshly body was not important. What was important was that they understood the scriptures and understood the plan of God going forward. And here's what he said. Now, this is what's important. You're going to like this. Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him off, tell me where you've put him, and I'll get him." And then Jesus said to her, "Mary." Now, you notice when he first spoke to her, he said, "Woman." This was a salutation they would use in common language, not intimately. But when he called her by name, Mary, it opened her eyes, and she turned, and she said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," or "Rabboni," which is to say teacher. She then recognized it was Jesus. And he said to her, verse 17, now you need to underline this, "Do not cling to me," Jesus said, "for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go tell my brothers, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." One more tiny message in here. This is him saying to her, not only is he my Father, he is your Father. Not only is he my God, he is your God. You know, they call him the only begotten Son up until this point. And from this point forward, he's never referred to again as the only begotten Son. He's always referred to as the first begotten from the dead. Reason why? He's our elder brother. The Bible says we're heirs with God, joint heirs with Jesus. What Jesus has, we have. We are his brothers and sisters in this earth. The Bible says, as he is in this world, so are we. So he's not the only begotten, because so many people want to make an excuse and say, "Oh, well, you know, you talk about a miracle or you talk about something special," and they'll say, "Well, that's Jesus, you know." Well, since he risen from the dead and he tells her right here, "My God, your God, my Father, your Father." We have the same relationship to the Father as he has today. So we ought to be able to do. And he even told the disciples, he said, "You go in my name, you're going to do greater things than I've done." And you think, well, how could you do greater things than Jesus? Because there's so many more of us. That's why. So let's move on. So we always say, and I'm not discounting this, please don't get me wrong. When he was on the cross and he said in a loud voice, "It is finished." However, I want you to know, according to this verse, everything was not finished yet. What was finished was his earthly ministry in that flesh body. He had done what his Father had called him to do. He had come and fulfilled the law, kept it, and nailed it to the cross for our benefit, and he took care of sin. But there was still something that he needed to accomplish. He needed to get to the heavenly temple and put his blood on the heavenly mercy seat. Now, you know, time just doesn't afford me to be able to describe that everything in the heavenlies is copied here on this earth. The earthly tabernacle was a copy and a type of the heavenly, the better one. And I've got Hebrews chapter 9. If you'd go ahead and just turn over to Hebrews chapter 9. I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's do the little commercial. Hope you like my saxophone player. And we'll be right back. Hebrews chapter 9. Saturatenow.com. If you'll go to that website, you can get information about Crossroads Gospel Singers, where we're going to be. You can even book our group if you'd like. You can also get radio content for this Saturate program. You can even download music as well. The site is under construction, so keep coming back to see what changes have been made. If you desire to make a tax-deductible donation to the ministry, SaturateNow.com is the place to go. Thanks for your generous support of the ministry. God bless you. Okay, I have tried my best to edit this thing about three times so I could read this whole chapter to you, but I just can't. I'm running out of time. Get you a Bible that's easy, a translation that makes it easier, because Paul's writing is a little tough here, and you read it for yourself, okay? But it basically describes the earthly tabernacle being a shadow and a type of the heavenly tabernacle that's not made by man's hands, and it's not part of this creation, so it says in verse 11. He did not enter by the blood of goats and calves. He entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, thus securing eternal redemption. I want to scoot down to verse 16. Because what this is, you know, have you ever seen people that were in somebody's will and they didn't know it? And all of a sudden somebody contacts them and they say, you know, want you to be present at the reading of so-and-so's will. I'm in the will? Listen, folks, you're in a will. And it says in verse 16, in the case of a will, it's necessary to establish the death of one who made it, because a will does not take effect until the one who made it has died. It cannot be executed while he's still alive. So many people ask, why blood? Why blood? Why blood? The Bible says the life is in the blood. So when there is a shedding of blood, then it is evidence that a life has been given. Let's go back to the story of when I see the blood on the doorpost, I will pass over you. The plague was the death of the firstborn. But since there had already been a death in obedience, instead of the people, they had obeyed and sacrificed an innocent animal. A blood had already been applied, and the blood was seen. Who saw the blood? He said, when I see the blood. It wasn't the people in the house that had to see the blood. It wasn't their neighbors that had to see the blood. It was when God said, when I see the blood. And that's what's happening today. And when Jesus Christ entered into the most holy place in the heavenly places, he put his blood on the mercy seat. If you know anything about the Ark of the Covenant, it was a box. I wish I could describe to you of the way it was made and what it was made of and how it describes Jesus, but take my word for it. The box basically describes Jesus, and the lid describes the mercy that God is showing to you and me. When the lid was put on, there were three things in there. There was a pot of manna, there was an Aaron's rod that had budded, and there were the Ten Commandments. All three a symbol of men's rejection of God's provision, God's authority, and God's law. We failed in every way. They put it in the box, and they put this solid gold lid on top of it. And God said, I'm not going to look at those things. What I'm going to look at is I'm going to look at the mercy seat. And when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. Jesus Christ put his blood on the mercy seat forever and ever, folks, if you'll accept Christ and his blood for your life. God will never look inside the box again at all those failures and all those mistakes you've made. It says he won't judge you according to your sin. He says, I'll be merciful to them and I'll forget their unrighteous deeds. I'll place them as far as the east is from the west. Honey, that's eternally far away. Listen, accept Christ as your personal Savior today. Tell him, say, come into my heart and be my Savior. I need you. And amen. And if you do that, heaven's shouting, we're shouting. Man, call somebody at the station and tell them you just got saved. It's an exciting time. Life is going to get better for you. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye-bye.